We've moved 1 week deeper into the Easter season today, and as you just heard, we left behind the familiar Easter resurrection stories for something else entirely. For the next few weeks until Pentecost, we'll be drinking in the heady words of John's Gospel, listening really to Jesus talk about relationships, about his relationship with the Father, about his relationship with us, about our relationship with one another and our relationship with God. And on this fourth Sunday of Easter today, we kick off those discourses on relationship, as we always do on the fourth Sunday of Easter, with the image of the Good Shepherd. As you may have picked up, today's particular gospel is by no means the most beloved of the Good Shepherd passages. But that's okay, because it's paired with a truly wonderful selection from the book of Revelation, where the white-robed martyrs come forward, palm branches in hand, to worship the Lord and be comforted forever. Clearly, this passage was intended for a persecuted people. These people lived and died in the era of the cruel Roman Emperor Nero. They were men and women who knew all sorts of hungers and thirsts intimately, who were familiar with the sun and all its blazing heat, who had long since learned the taste of tears. Our testing, yours and mine, is not the same testing as theirs was, for we are not persecuted in their day as they were in theirs. And yet, I've always thought that this white-robed army of martyrs has something important to tell us about our lives today. They laid their lives down all at once for what they believed. And when we are at our best, so do we lay our lives down for what we believe too, just not all at once. Standing up for what we know is right, being beacons of God's love and God's hope and God's mercy and God's justice to the people around us, making sacrifices on behalf of those we love and others, trying to do the best we can according to the lights that we have been given. In all these ways and more, we lay our lives down daily for what we know in our hearts to be true, in all the sacrifices that we make on behalf of others. Martyrs in slow motion, then, I like to think we are, giving our lives up and over, drop by drop and day by day. And it is likewise drop by drop and day by day that you and I are tested in ways as unique as we are. Hunger and thirst in any of their many forms, for time, for patience, for answers, for peace, for whatever, don't you and I know them well? Scorching sun as we try to keep going, putting one foot in front of the other when we are drained and exhausted and don't know where the strength will come from or even the way in which we should be going. You and I know those feelings too. The salty, empty, bitter, hollow, sad, disappointed tastes of tears. Just how many tastes do tears have, do you suppose? And haven't you and I long since learned them all? And we long for a time, long for a place, where all those tears will finally be wiped away. It's against this background of the way in which life can too often be for us that we need to come back to the compelling image of Christ the Good Shepherd, for the comfort it offers us on the one hand, and for the challenge it presents us with on the other. It is the Good Shepherd who gives life and who gives it eternally, who is present there in the second reading, though invisibly, at work wiping away tears, satisfying hungers, providing the weary with rest, there to make right and fill the need of all who come to him. It puts us in mind, doesn't it, of that familiar image in our bulletin covers? The image of Christ the Good Shepherd, cradling in his arms the lamb that stands for you and for me. It's one of the most compelling, endearing images of our faith, and it has always been so, down throughout the centuries. Go to the ancient catacombs near Rome, for example, and there you'll find it painted, this image of the gentle Jesus tending us in our need. As it was in the beginning for ancient Christians, so it is for us today. The image of the Lord who is always there for us is an image to keep us going on all our hardest days. But there's also a challenge to us in this image of Christ the Good Shepherd, and no more so than to us who named this community of ours after him. For us here at the community of the Good Shepherd, there has to be more to it than the fact that we are gently comforted, gently tended, gently fed, gently led. If he is our good shepherd, then so must we be his good sheep. And good sheep must not follow, they must also lead. For all the comfort and the mercy and the tender loving care we hear described in the readings today, the rest for the weary, the food for the hungry, the cool water for the thirsty, the satisfaction to any need, whatever it might be, this is not intended to be some kind of comfort one day in heaven only, but a comfort here today as well. The Lord's lambs still need tending, his sheep still need feeding. Martyrs in slow motion that you and I are, we are surrounded everywhere by others being sacrificed, and testing in their own ways as well. Anywhere you look, here is what you'll see. People who know hunger and who know thirst and who know heat and who know tears in their way as intimately as you know them in yours. If the Good Shepherd has called us by our names, and he has, it is so that we might call out to others the word they most need to hear. If the Good Shepherd has come to know us in the midst of the lives we lead, and he has, it is so that you and I can know others in turn by entering into their lives as well. If the Good Shepherd leads us to gentle springs, as the psalmist says, and he does, it is so that we will reach out to others and help them down their rocky paths and through the hard places they encounter. And if the Good Shepherd has given his life over for us, and he has, then so too must we give our lives over to others, piece by piece and bit by bit. We are to gain by giving, you and I, to learn by teaching, to find by losing, to follow by leading, to live for others by dying to ourselves. That's what Easter's all about.